Maybe we'll read from where we opened the book. This is not working at all. No, it's working something. A little bit. Something is there. How about that? Chant and treat it nice and we'll do something. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Fifth chapter, text 20. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya no dvijet prapya priyam stira buddhir asam murtho brahmavid brahmani spitaha. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Purport. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he's not this body, but is the fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called sthirabuddhi, or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the absolute truth, namely Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization, or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Tathati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadrutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Dashakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Purana Sindho Dina Vanto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kopitarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Kyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's do a cell phone check first of all. Cell phone check, cell phone check. thank you to Keshav Prabhu for introducing me. We were having a nice philosophical discussion 2 days back. His father was driving me from the bus station. So then I got to know that his mother had passed away. And so I said, you know, we're all going in that direction. How old was she? She was 90 years old. I said, how old are you, Keshav? He said, 7. I said, well, we're all going in that direction. He said, yes, but you have a short way to go, and I have a long way to go.
Be smart.
So that's generally so, that some of us have a long way to go. Some of us have a short way to go. Of course, we're also not sure who has a short road or who has a long road. Sometimes we're surprised someone we thought has a very short road goes on and on. And someone who we thought would have a longer road takes a shortcut. But long road or short road, everyone is going to that same destination. Sheshas tavarej janti kemaisharya atapparam. Everyone is going, and still we're thinking that I'll stay. I'll stay. That's not possible. Ashashvatam, this is the place where no one stays. And from one point of view, we're not unhappy about that. Who wants to stay? What's so great about this material world that we should want to stay here? Ashashvatam, you can't stay here. And Dukkhalayam, why should we want to stay here? It's a, Prabhupada used to say, no place for a gentleman. Unsuitable place for habitation, because it's so troublesome in so many ways. And it's the place where the natural atmosphere is forgetfulness of Krishna. The whole material world is the place where we come on account of the tendency to forget Krishna and try to enjoy independently. So from that point of view, we don't want to stay here. Our goal is to get out of this material world and go back home, back to Godhead. That's the real destination. Yad gatva nanivartan te tadham paramam. So that's possible for one who is asamudho. Asamudho samartyeshu. One who's not bewildered by this material setup. In this material setup, I think that I'm this body, this is my wife, these are my children, these are my parents. And it's not so. Or it's so only on the superficial platform. It has the appearance of being so. And you can say that it's true relatively. But relatively means just like that. The example, Bhagavatam gives many examples. One example is the objects that are floating in the sea. By the actions of the waves, we see some little logs and some seaweed and whatever is floating comes together. And then it forms like a little unit and it floats along. But again, by the action of the waves, floats apart. And then people ask, will I be reunited with my dog? Will I be reunited with my wife? Will I be reunited? But the answer is that practically We just drift off in different directions. Therefore, that question was there. That incident was there with, what's his name? Who met Narada? And he couldn't have a son. Chitraketu. Angira was there with Narada Rishi, yes. So he couldn't have a son, finally got a son. Then the co-wives became envious of the mother of the child and they poisoned the prince. Then Chitraketu is overwhelmed with grief. His queen is overwhelmed with grief. The co-wives are pretending to be overwhelmed with grief. And then Narad Muni came. Narad Muni had tried to give some instruction earlier, but he saw that it's useless. This king is only fixed on one thing, that I have to have a son, Computer, yeah, it's doing whatever it's doing.
Agreeing to what you say. Is it agreeing to what you say?
It's agreeing, yeah, that's Microsoft tick-tick. Get a little program, Microsoft tick-tick. So many Indian programmers, they can... So then when the child died, then... Chitraketu Maharaj was in total distress. Then Narada thought, now is the better time to come and give him some instruction. So he and Angira Rishi went there. And by the request of Narada, the child came back. And Narada asked the child, that why are you leaving so untimely? Can't you see that your mother and father are lamenting for you? And the child, which mother and father is that? Mother and father, which mother and father? In which birth were they my mother and father? I've had so many births, I'm going from lifetime to lifetime. So in this way, the child was giving instruction. Or Narad Muni was giving instruction through the child, that we're thinking, this is my family, this is... But that's only in the broader picture of things. It's like a little moment. Maybe, we don't have too many young people there, but those who play with computer programs where you're editing something, and you can make it very short or you can make it very the same 1 minute. If you compress it in your view, it's like this. And if you expand it, it looks like it's taking up the whole screen. And video editing programs, audio editing programs, they have that. So something looks to us to be very expansive, but from another angle of vision, it's just a moment. The time is given. In the third canto, Lord Kapildev gives the picture of time. Seen from a relative point of view. We have relativity with Einstein, but from Bhagavatam also, the idea of relativity was there. How time changes according to one's angle of vision. So from our angle of vision, Lord Brahma's lifetime is huge. 4,300,000 years times 2, times 12, times 30, times 100. Enormously long lifetime. From his angle of vision, our coming and going is nothing. Just as Prabhupada used to cite the example that in Mayapur there are some insects, and they're born at night and they expire at night also. But that's their 100 years. Everyone lives 100 years. Their 100 years is half a day, just one night. And our 100 years, 100 years by our calculation. But for Brahma, what is that 100 years? Lord Brahma stole the cows and the calves and cowherd friends of Krishna, and then went away. He hid them in some cave, some secret place. And then he came back after a moment because he was a little doubtful that, I don't know about this Krishna. So after a moment, he came back. He quickly put the boys and calves in confinement and came back. But that one moment was 1 year. On earth, his one moment was 1 year. Therefore, Krishna, after Krishna killed Aghasura, the incident was not reported by the cowherd boys until 1 year later. Because they were out of station for 1 year. And Krishna was expanding himself as the boys and calves. So then 1 year later, again, the matter was settled that Brahma saw that Krishna has defeated me, and he surrendered. Then the original boys and calves were there again. Then they reported, today Krishna killed one big demon, Aghasura. So his one moment, Brahma's one moment, was 1 whole year. But it's described that Brahma's whole lifetime is one breath of Mahavishnu. When the these Brahmas live for one breath of Mahavishnu. When he exhales, then all of the little bubble universes come into existence. Jivanti, and the Brahmas are living for that long. Jagannandanatha, Brahma. Then Lord Vishnu inhales, finished. Govindamadi Purusham Tamam. Oh, that's the conclusive measure of time. The Kapil Dev is describing from the time it takes for the particles to come together and form an atom, that much time, then how long it takes for the different planets to circle around. Finally up to, this is the ultimate time, one exhalation of Mahavishnu, one breath. He breathes out, everything's there, breathes in. How many breaths do you take in the course of a day? Since we arrived here, how many breaths have we taken since we've come to this house? We don't even count, but so many. One breath like that is the whole lifetime of Brahma. So seen from that angle of vision, our existence in this world is one spot, one tiny moment, or this lifetime. Actually, our existence in this world is anadikal, say, since time immemorial. No one can say how long we've been in this world, but this one lifetime is just like a flash in eternity. And we have so many lifetimes, but in each lifetime I'm thinking that this is my life. There was a television program in America, I think you're all too young to remember, or you weren't here in America, but they would bring some ordinary citizen on the show, and they would have beforehand, some older person, and they would have beforehand contacted all of that person's friends and all of that person's relatives and whoever was there, and they all gather on the stage, or they send a message by some way or other, and there's a review, this is your life. And that life is usually so mundane and boring and superficial and meaningless. But they would review, this was your life. But that life, bhogam parta sujivati, aghayur indriya ramo, Mogam Partha Sajivati. Krishna says that the person who lives simply for sense gratification, Indriya Rama, Mogam Partha Sajivati, he lives for nothing. He lives for nothing, for no purpose. The life is wasted. Human life is wasted. Without any spiritual activities, without any spiritual profit, the human life, parabhava, parabhava stava de bodha jato yavana jigyasati, atma tattvam. Until we inquire about spiritual realization, what is the difference between our life and the life of the insect? There's no difference. Then what is the value of the human form of life if we've used it for no higher purpose? Therefore, it said, parabhava, failure, mogam participi, simply for sense gratification, that we could have gotten in any life. That we could have gotten in any life. So the message of the Shastra is that we shouldn't waste this human life for the business which of the animals, for the happiness that the animals can get. That means that we should cultivate spiritual realization. You know, here, na prarishyet priyam prapya. When we get some fortunate material circumstance or fortunate material acquisition, na prarishyet. The Krishna says, don't be so happy. This is for the fools. Oh, I won the lottery. You see the big billboard, you know, Mrs. McQueen won $10 million and now she's got a big, fat, happy face. The Krishna says, what are you rejoicing about such meaningless things? Na prarishyet priyam prapya. When you get some material advantage, don't be so happy, because it's of no real meaning. Play money. When you get play money, it's not really a great profit. It's just play. And nodrijet prapyacha priyam. And when there's some unpleasant circumstance, then don't be disturbed. Unpleasant circumstance, ultimate unpleasant circumstance is death. Although maybe there are some unpleasant circumstances where we feel that death would be better than living on tortured in this world. But either way, Krishna says, don't be disturbed. Sthira matir, yeah? Sthira buddhir. That by intelligence, steady intelligence, we understand what is what. The first understands, I'm not this body. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahitikavaka, chayanam kvediyam tyapo. Nasho shayati maruta. I can't be cut, I can't be dried, I can't be blown away. This, that, no material condition. What is that? My red book. I've got half the verse in my mind and the verse is not coming together. Second chapter. Very common verse and it's disappearing from my mind. Ah, there we go. Avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata. Avyaktanidananyeva tatraka parideva. That we're not here, then we're here, then we're not here. That's the nature of the world. Avyakta. Avyakta means unmanifest, unseen. Avyakta adini bhutani. All living beings were not seen. Before the birth of the child is not seen. Maybe before the birth, the doctor can see, he gets an instrument and he sees. That also is not real seeing, but somewhat seeing. But before pregnancy, at least, before conception, no one sees. Then we see, first maybe on a screen, and then out in the world. And then avyakta. Avyakta madhyani, for a while we're seen, and then avyakta nidananyeva. Then again unseen. Not existent and then non-existent. That's misunderstanding. The materialists, that's what they think, that we don't exist, then we exist, then we don't exist anymore. That's their ignorance. That everything in life is simply chemicals, and it comes together, then there's life, then the chemicals fall apart, then there's no life. That's their poor fund of knowledge. Rather, Najayate Mriyate Va Kadachi. There's no birth and no death for the soul, for the living being. Nitya Shashvato Yam Puran. Always existing. But this body is sometimes existing, or you can say never existing. Never existing means it's not substantially existing. It exists the way a bubble exists. The bubble exists for a few moments and then it disappears. It's not permanently existing. Or the way a movie exists. You know, it's projected onto the screen for some time and then it disappears. You can't say it didn't exist, but you can't say it exists either. It's existing as a movie. It's not existing as real life. So the life of this body is like that. It's projected for some time as a feature of material nature. I say my body, but my body is not my body. Because the body is not owned by me. The ingredients for this body are drawn from material nature. And again, they return to material nature. So how do I say, this is my body? Just like I say, this is my house. But actually, it's the bank's house. And after some time, it may return to the bank also. Or after some time, I sell it. And then it belongs to the next person. I say my house, but it's not my house anymore. It used to be my house. Or I'm thinking that it used to be my house. My connection with the house is then only mental. I remember my house, the house I grew up in, but it was never mine. And certainly now it's not mine. But I'm thinking, while I'm there, I'm thinking my house. Even the child says to his friend, would you like to come over to my house? How is it your house? Did you pay for it? It's your father's house, and you're saying, my house. But it's not your house. It belongs to the father, and you're playing in the house, you're living in the house, you're doing something in the house. But if you disregard your father, maybe he'll throw you out of the house. So this body is on loan. I say my body, but it's my body for some time by loan agreement. Or you may agree or not agree, but you're stuck with the loan anyway. But the spirit soul is eternal. Therefore, the actual person is the soul, not this body. We're thinking backwards. We're thinking that the person is the body. We're thinking in terms of nation, family, age, so many things. Well, these are the bodily designations. But the person is a different thing. Therefore, the Prabhupada gave the example that at the time of death, the person says, oh, my father is gone. But Prabhupada says, the father is right there. Why are you saying my father is gone? That means you never saw the father. You know, the father is not the body. The father is the soul within the body. This is sthira buddhi. Buddhi means intelligence. Intelligence means the ability to discriminate and understand what is what. To see, to be able to distinguish between one thing and another thing is the function of the intelligence. So sthira buddhi. Sthira buddhi means steady intelligence. Steady intelligence means Krishna consciousness. In the material world, we have unsteady intelligence. It's going this way, that way, by my plans and schemes and ideas. But sthira buddhi and asamuddha. Sometimes a person's sthira buddhi, his intelligence is steady, but it's steadily fixed on something useless. You know, where is money? Where is money? Where is money? But that's not the sthira buddhi that Krishna means here. Asamuddha. Not completely bewildered like the materialist. The materialistic person is thoroughly bewildered by Maya. Asamuddha. And asamuddha, the Krishna conscious person, he knows, I'm not this body. He knows I'm part and parcel of Krishna. He knows my life is not for sense gratification. It's for going back to Godhead. He knows I'm the servant of Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Sarvabhutesu. Krishna is the supreme master. Everyone else is Krishna's servant. But my business is to chant Hare Krishna and become Krishna conscious. Brahmavit. Brahmavit means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, wherever you see this word Brahma, you can read Krishna. Wherever you see Brahma, read Krishna. Brahmavit. Brahma. Brahma means the greatest, Brihat. So who is the greatest? Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti. The greatest is known as Brahma, Paramatma, ultimately as Bhagavan. Gyanamadvayam, one absolute truth. So Brahmavid means the person who knows Krishna. Brahmavid, Brahmanistata, the person who knows Krishna is situated in Krishna. Mayi te te shujapyana. Everyone is situated in Krishna. That's already there. There's no place else to be situated. But the person who's Krishna conscious is factually situated in Krishna. See, everyone's situated in Krishna. But mayi te, Krishna says, he's in me and I'm in him. The one who's always thinking of me, the one who's my devotee. Mayi te 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 shujapyana. By loving connection. By loving connection. So our business is to create that loving connection. Then our life is, human life is meaningful. When there's a connection with Krishna. Otherwise, disconnected from Krishna. If we're disconnected from reality, Krishna means the supreme reality. If we're disconnected from reality, we're nowhere. And connected with Krishna means connected with reality. Then our life has meaning. Then our life is real. The whole material civilization, they're connecting with something which is unreal. Bahirartaman. And the civilization of knowledge, or the civilization of devotional service, is the civilization for connecting with reality. So we're fortunate to be associated with Krishna consciousness movement, to be associated with devotees, to be associated with devotional service of Krishna, to be associated with Krishna. be associated with devotees, with the deity, with the holy name, with the teachings of Krishna. It means to be associated with Krishna. That means eternal association. The materialistic civilization means to be associated with that which doesn't substantially exist. And Krishna conscious association means eternal association. So this eternal association of devotees is there, and Monkey Bihari Prabhu's whole family there in the devotional association of Krishna. His mother is also in the devotional association of Krishna. So there's no misfortune there. The misfortune is, just Prabhupada used to quote, Rajaputra Chiranjeev, my dear son of a king, may you live a long time. And Rishiputra Majiva, my dear son of the sage, don't live, die at once. And for the devotee, Jivava Marova, live or die, doesn't matter. And for the butcher, Ma Jiva Ma Mara, don't live and don't die. The king's son should live a long time because he's engaged always in sense gratification, royal pleasure. So good that he should live a long time, because when his life is over, he'll go to hell. And Rishiputra, Majiva, why should you go on living a long life of all sorts of inconvenience, penance, austerity, tapasya? You can go now, Majiva, save yourself so much trouble. Or if you're a devotee, stay or go. Equally good. But if you're a butcher, then death is horrible and life is also horrible. So, ma jiva ma ma. So, jiva va maro va. The devotee in this life or the next life, his life is fortunate because the Krishna connection is there. So we should strive always to be connected with Krishna. That will benefit us, that will benefit previous generations, next generation, others across on this present generation. Everyone will benefit by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami said, the Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. All auspicious means everyone benefits. There's no one loses and everyone gains, because everything is on the eternal platform. Maybe we'll see what kind of discussion there might be. Where's Keshav? He's our chief philosopher. There you are, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You're a very good philosopher. Do you have any question today? No. Okay. Any thoughts to share?
Well, you mentioned about devotee. For a devotee, whether he lives or dies, it does not matter. So that's his fortunate position. So when we have gotten that good fortune, how should a devotee direct his life to use that good fortune so that he can make the best use of that good fortune?
It means he should serve Krishna. That's his business. Not to waste time in sense gratification, but maximum energy for Krishna. Just Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the example. That his whole life was for Krishna. Although externally he had some business as magistrate, he had some responsibilities. But when we see, his real business in life was to serve Krishna. oh, family life, or he also gave up family life in the mature stage. Grihete vanete tako harigangam. Tivrena bhakti yogena. With intensity. That's a kind of cultivation, how to cultivate intense devotional service. That's something of a challenge, because it's a little bit easy to be a devotee. Just like our second generation American boys and girls. They're all devotees automatically. But sometimes they'll ask, now how do we become devotees like you? You know, what happened in your life so that you became intense? Because they know they're coasting a little bit. You know, they know so many things. Mm-hmm. But they're coasting. So Indian birth can also be like that. Yes, we all know Krishna. But we're coasting. We know Krishna, but that's background information. Not foreground information. It's not up front in our consciousness. It's back burner in our consciousness. So we want to change that so that it becomes intense devotional service. We meet an advanced devotee. What is an advanced devotee? It's intensely engaged in devotional service. It's not just, yes, I'm also a devotee. But very seriously, tivra. Tivra means like the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun are not just powerful, focused, intense. So we want to come to that stage, not artificially, just a show, but actually live our life in such a way that devotional service becomes intense. Intense. Just as someone is intensely devoted to his country, you know, the patriots and people who give their lives for their country. That's different from just a person who's a citizen. Everyone's a citizen. But there are those who dedicate their lives for the country. So that's a different thing. So we want to come to that stage where our otherwise, everyone's intensely dedicated to sense gratification. Or even sometimes they're not intense about that. In the mode of passion, they're intensely dedicated to sense gratification. Mode of ignorance, there's no intensity at all. They're just dull. But in Krishna consciousness, there's clear-mindedness. So there's dedication to Krishna, because what else is there? In the mode of goodness or in knowledge, one knows that what is this other stuff? One sees, well, this is Maya. And my business with Maya should be minimized, just like eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's the business of this body, but that should be minimized, because I don't want to live my life just for that. That's, all right, I have to eat, I have to sleep. But that's not my purpose in life. My purpose in life has to be there to understand who I am, to understand Krishna, to understand my relationship with Krishna, and to understand how to be engaged in the service of Krishna with full force. Then this life becomes successful, next life becomes successful, everything. Yes? Hare Krishna.
I was curious about fulfilling our responsibilities to family, particular parents, especially if they're not devotees.
Mm.
Can we say that we honestly have fulfilled our responsibility to family if they're not self-realized souls before they pass?
Can we say that we've fulfilled our responsibility to family if they're not self-realized before they pass away? First thing is that we should be self-realized. What is that? first word of the verses. Bhutaptra Nrinam. What is the beginning word? Bhutaptra Nrinam. Patrinam. Makinkaram.
Devarshi.
Devarshi Bhutatma. The Bhagavatam says that we have so many deaths. I'm indebted to the demigods who are giving heat, light, water, air, everything. I'm indebted to the rishis, because from them we're getting knowledge. Devarshi Bhuta. I'm indebted to the other living beings who are giving service. The dog is bringing my newspaper, or he's barking at the passersby. The other living beings, in one way or another, they're giving us some service. Even the viruses, not viruses, bacteria in the gut, they're helping me digest my food. So I have a debt to them also. Even to the bacteria, I'm indebted. Devarshi Bhuta Apta, to my relatives, I'm indebted. To my parents, to my other family members, and to other human beings who are helping me in so many different ways. Without other people helping us, how will we go on? So we're indebted to all of them. But one who surrenders to the devotional service of Mukunda, Krishna, he's no longer indebted to anyone. He's fulfilled all his debts. Not simply lip service. Yes, I'm a devotee. But one who's actually dedicated to the service of Krishna, he's not indebted, because he's paid his debt to the central treasury. Devarshi, I owe debt to the demigods. How will I pay all those demigods? How many demigods? 32 crores. 33 crores of demigods. How will I pay my debt to all of them? So many rishis, how will I pay my debts to them? So many relatives and many generations also, how will I pay my debt to them? What will I do for them? Some of them are gone already. And what will I do? And other human beings, how can I pay all of them? But when we give our service to Krishna, you pour water on the root of the tree, the water is distributed to all the leaves and branches. You put food in the stomach, it's distributed to all the limbs of the body. So I think I have a debt to my family. Why only my family? The devas, the rishis, the so many. But when I surrender to Krishna, then I'm not indebted to anyone. My debts are paid. Because that's my real business, is to surrender to Krishna. So from that point of view, complete. From another point of view, as long as I'm in family life, then it's my business to try to see that those who are dependent on me, especially, get free from birth and death. Pita nasa sya, janani nasa sya, guru nasa sya. One shouldn't become guru, king, husband, father, mother, unless one can deliver the person under one's charge from birth and death. No, not that we take it lightly. I'm a devotee, it doesn't matter what happens to these people. I have some responsibility that I haven't become a father just for sense gratification. I haven't become a mother just for sense gratification. I haven't become husband or guru, king, just for sense gratification. But it's my duty to see that the persons under my charge are delivered from the clutches of birth and death. But we'll execute that duty as far as possible. As far as possible. Because it's not that everything is in my hand. not that everything is under my control. But as far as possible, I'll perform my duty, and then the result is finally up to Krishna. It's my duty. But then finally, I have to see that Krishna is the in charge. Krishna is I can't make anything happen. Nirmamo nirahankara. I can't. I'm not the doer of anything. But as far as possible, I carry out my prescribed duty. Then the rest is up to Krishna. Not that I remain in household or life forever, because my duties are not yet complete. That duty extends to a certain point. Then actually one has to say, all right, duty's finished. Just Prabhupada gives the example that we have a business. So we keep the business open till 5 o'clock. And after 5 o'clock, we close the business. It doesn't matter that there could be more customers. It doesn't matter whatever else may be going on. 5 o'clock, we close the shutters, lock the doors. So, why? Because now my duty is finished. My duty now is to go home. So the family life also, it's a duty up to one, to a point. Say 50 years. Not 50 years in household life, 50 years life, period. Then one should close up shop. Not that, oh, I still have a daughter who's not married, and I still have payments on the house, and I still have this, and I still have that. If I died tomorrow, what would happen? So voluntarily, one should get out. That now I've done my duty as far as possible. As far as possible, I've done. Now let me get on with higher duty. If I'm very dutiful to my family, but I don't perform my higher duty of becoming Krishna conscious, what is the use? If I don't perform the duty of getting out of material existence and going back to Godhead, then simply, oh, he was very dedicated to his family. The dog is very dedicated to his family also. What is your great credit? Woof, woof. So while we're in family life or while we're in any position of responsibility, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was magistrate, but he didn't say that now I have to be a magistrate till the end of my life because still there's some cases pending. Modern politicians, they'll not get out, Prabhupada said, until they're forced out. But a person in knowledge knows I stay for some time and I get out. Because there's, it's maybe my duty to get in, it's my duty to get out also. So as far as possible. We're given some time, some years in which to perform the duties of this life. Some years as brahmachari, some years as grahastha, some years as vanaprastha, maybe some years as sannyasi. In any case, some years for our whole life, and we have to perform our duty and get out. Voluntarily or involuntarily, so better to go voluntarily than kicking and screaming. And know that I'll, as far as possible, while I have this body, I'll perform my duties. As far as possible. And then I have to retire. Is that all right? What else? That's also tivrena, to become more focused. That in mature age, not to remain preoccupied with family affairs up to the end, but to be more focus. But now, all right, I've done that. Now I have other work to do before they finally close the doors. Time will be limited. Therefore, Harirnam Anukirtana. Shukadeva Goswami is advising Parikshit Maharaj that if you really want to be free from fear at the time of death, then Harirnam Anukirtana. You should hear, chant the holy name of Krishna, following the footsteps of the Acharyas. Harirnam, Harirnam, Harirnam. And that's Bodhyanta Parasparam, encouraging one another also. Not how do we get intensity, strength? By mutual encouragement. The Bodhyanta Parasparam, by Krishna says, my devotees are always enlightening one another. Or Prabhupada says, preaching to one another. Encouraging one another in the service of Krishna. The materialists are always saying, you don't want to do that. You know, there's something else that's more important than that, isn't there? Whether it's the movie or the Red Sox game or some politics or something. I mean, you don't want to be a fanatic and just always be Krishna, 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 do you? And the devotees are encouraging. You always want to be Krishna, 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 don't you? Yes. We always want to be chanting Hare Krishna, but Vayam Tu Na Vitripyama. We never get tired of Krishna. So that, by association, that comes. Prabhupada gave the example that you put two sticks or three sticks, four sticks together, they won't be broken. Maya's looking for the single stick. So we should not be single sticks, we should be stacked up together. What do they say? Strength in numbers. Preaching to one another, encouraging one another, helping one another in the service of Krishna. That's nice. Everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs help. Everyone needs reminding. Everyone needs good association. So we can all be good association for one another. Mothers become good association for the children, good association for the husband by encouraging Krishna consciousness. Fathers, same way, Krishna consciousness. Everyone. Your children. Sometimes we find that the children become the biggest preachers in the family. Sometimes the children come first and they're dragging the parents. Come on, come on. Sometimes the child becomes the father of the man. Or the child becomes the spiritual master. Going to become a spiritual master? Yeah, it's enthusiastic. Good. Okay. Anything else?
The goal of life is to chant Shuddhanam.
Shuddhanam.
But that goal just seems so far away. It seems, generally speaking, more to ordinary persons like us, that it's
goal of Hari chanting Shuddhanam may be far away. At least we should point in the right direction. The old saying that every journey begins with the first step. So it may be far, but we'll go. All right, we have, even if it takes me more than one lifetime, still I'll go. Gradually I'll get there. Why should I waste time going nowhere or going in the opposite direction? Maybe far. Sometimes you're walking, just like on Padayatra, we would walk, and it's so far. I mean, we walked all over India. So to walk from Guruvayur down to Kanyakumari up to Mayapur. So you may say, well, that's a long time. But you just walk every day, 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers, 20 kilometers, 25 kilometers. Some days it will be less. Some days it will be more. Some days there'll be some setback, there'll be some rain, or there'll be some change of plan, or something will happen, or the lorries will break down, and whatever it will be, or some days it will be less, or sometimes just you'll say, all right, we'll stop here for 2 days. And some days it'll be more. Let's do more today, 30 kilometers, 35 kilometers. Special effort. But at the end of some time, year and a half in that case, you'll get there. Otherwise, if you think about it, you say, that's really a long way. Imagine if you had to get to Florida and you had no car. Imagine all the cars, you know, petrol pumps just went totally empty. And for some reason, we all had to go south. Maybe there was no petrol to heat the houses anymore either. So we decided, well, we're all going to go to Florida. And you think, well, the buses aren't running either. And the trains aren't running, and the planes aren't flying. There's no petrol. All right, let me walk. Walk? Yeah. One day 10 kilometers, next day 20 kilometers, next day 35 kilometers, next day 2 kilometers. After some days, you'll be in Florida.
Somebody has predicted that gas will go up to $20 a gallon someday.
So get good shoes. Someone wrote a book that gas will be $20. Yeah.
First it will be $4.
$4, $6, whatever it may be. Anyway, we don't want to stay in this material world where petrol may become too expensive. So we'll start walking in the direction of Goloka Vrindavan. Little bit, gradually we'll get there. We'll just follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. They've gone that path. But we'll also follow.
There seems to be a certain tension, at least in the neophyte stage. I know, I feel it. Tension between, you know, I'm doing my best. It's going to take me several lifetimes, you know, to get to that goal. Versus the feeling, you know, I must do everything possible in this lifetime to attain the goal in this very lifetime.
Therefore, association. On our own, we'll tend to be, well, one day I'll get there. Just actually, that was the beauty of the Padyatra also. That because the party is going, every day you go. Some days you may feel like, I don't really feel like walking. But because the whole party is going, all right, I'll go. And then once you're going, you feel like, I'm going. So that association is so important. On our own, Ekaki Amar Nahi Pai Bolo Harinam Sankirtan. By the association of the spiritual master, by the association of the devotees, we'll get that power, that desire. Sangat Sanjayate Kama Prabhupada quoted in that context. By association, our desires develop. When we're associated, otherwise, it'll weaken. I'll be on my own, and yes, I want to be Krishna conscious, and yes, and yes, and yes. But other things are also yes, and also everything becomes kind of dull. But when we have association, then it becomes strong. Just like you had your Janmashtami programs. So everybody's working double time because of association. And one person encourages the other person encourages this person, and we know that they're also depending on me, I'm also depending on them. And we have this goal to achieve. So everybody becomes more engaged, more intense by association. Therefore, we have our society. Prabhupada created International Society to create intensity. There's book distribution. How does it go on? Book distributors become intense by association. Even the book distributors, they say, we want to just associate with the other book distributors. Right? They'll stay together, they'll take prasadam together, they'll do so many things together to cultivate that sense that most important thing is we have to distribute these books, we have to distribute these books. They develop that intense feeling that this is our urgent mission by association. Or everyone. We have that feeling that we all have to distribute these books. And by that association, everyone will start distributing books in Silicon Valley. Practically everyone is just, there's the pregnant ladies are distributing books. They had some dog, and they hooked it up with a little carrier or something, and the dog is distributing books. Yeah, people see them. By that association, people who are, you know, full-time jobs and all sorts of people, they're looking for the opportunity, when can I get out and take part in distributing these books? Yeah. How is it possible? By association. So all of these things, that feeling that I have to serve Krishna, I have to distribute the message of Krishna, I have to go back to Krishna, by association. Bodhyanta paraspara, by encouraging one another. Okay. We stop here? Okay. Thank you all very much. You have something more to say, Kate?
Thank you for the lecture. And now we'll have Aarti, and after Aarti, we'll take some prasadam outside.
Thank you very much.